good?
Grief.
Galler.
What a start of the season.
You did it.
First try.
It was either that or Galola.
Galola would be way better. At least
I was pitching hard for Galola.
Galola.
Welcome to Good Grief Galler. I am your host, SBJ, bringing you our audio journey through Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield. With me is Irene.
Hi there.
And Micah.
Hello. This is the squad. This is the, not the OG squad, but.
The OG squad was just me back in the day.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that's not really anything because that's one person.
The OG Alola squad.
If this is your first episode of It's Super Effective, we are a weekly Pokemon podcast. Although this series will not be weekly, it'll be daily until we complete Sword and Shield. Think of it like how maybe your favorite YouTuber does a live, what do they call it? Let's Play.
Let's Plays.
Where they do stuff in chunks. The only difference here is this is audio. So imagine you sitting alone wishing you had somebody to talk to.
Wow.
But you're not actually talking, you're just listening. This sounds like a real sad situation.
You're describing my daily life until my wife gets home from work. It's very depressing.
We will start off every episode usually you could probably tell by the title of the episode where the episode is going and or going to end. So for example, if an episode might say, what we've done in the past is we might say like gym one or gym two or just maybe a specific town. So if you were to see a town that you're unfamiliar with, you're probably not that far in the game. In this situation, for this episode, we're going to talk about our initial impressions of Sword and Shield. We all played about an hour or so, and we played up to Sonia. So if you have not met Sonia yet in the game, and you don't want any spoilers, probably go meet Sonia. But we're about to talk about everything that happens in between. Yeah, these should come out every single day until we are done. I'm estimating that we'll probably do like 10 to 12 episodes. I think the first time we did Sun and Moon, it ended up being like 22 episodes. And Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon, I think, capped out around 14.
I don't even remember anything about Ultra Sun and Ultra Moon.
And then Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, capped out around 13, I think. So we'll see. I'm actually not sure how long this game is. But before we dive in, just because, again, this might be people's first time listening to the show, because they probably typed in Pokemon podcast in their podcast finder, I'll start with Micah. Just real quick, your history with Pokemon.
I'm Micah. I've been playing Pokemon for a really long time, since Red and Blue, when I was a young boy. Played on the Game Boy with no backlight, and I played under a lamp in my living room, and I've been infatuated ever since. Pretty much it. I don't know what else to say.
I think that's good.
Consumed and enjoyed pretty much all available Pokemon content. My favorite Pokemon are Chikorita and Mimikyu, and I like Celebi a lot too. I guess maybe that's
something
people want to hear. Top three.
I feel like a lot of people can connect by. What was your first Pokemon game and probably your favorite Pokemon? So, Irene, that question for you. First Pokemon game, maybe a couple favorite Pokemon.
My first, was it Blue? One of them. I think I played Blue. I never remember. But Gen 1. Hi, I'm Irene. I go out of order.
Have you played them all?
No.
Oh, okay.
I have not. I stopped after Gen 3, and then I didn't think about Pokemon really until 2011 when I met my husband, and now I think about Pokemon almost every day. So
that was Black and White 2011.
Yes.
It's not always black and white,
but we
that's how it goes, right?
Sorry.
Heart always knows what's right. My name is SBJ. I've been hosting a Pokemon podcast, the one you're listening to right now, for 9 years. I also started with Red and Blue. And I've played every single Pokemon game except Pokemon Emerald. That was the one I skipped. Still haven't played it to this day. I played both Ruby and Sapphire. I don't know why. Just never played Emerald, I guess. I don't know.
Interesting.
Irene, your three favorite Pokemon.
Registeel, Mawile, and Scorbunny.
All right.
Scorbunny has dethroned Oshawott.
Oshawott's real good, though. I also love Popplio.
My three favorite Pokemon as of this recording are probably Cramorant, Farfetch, and Chimecho.
Interesting.
Nice.
All right.
No ducklet, huh?
No ducklet. Oh, dang, ducklet's good though.
No gold duck.
No gold duck. Psyduck? Not no. Psyduck's never, not even top 100. Okay, well, let's get into things. We all played the first hour or so of the game, I guess. Without where do you want to start, Irene? Any specific thing that caught you off the bat? You freaked out about the elephant.
Okay.
I guess, do we start with the elephant?
Well, I played Pokemon Sword.
Okay, sure.
That's the version that I'm playing. I don't know what that elephant... Actually, no.
I don't either. I'm so excited.
The first thing that I noticed and thought was that I was really excited that I was able to play on my TV because of the Switch.
Yeah.
So that was really nice because I wasn't squinting and I was able to see everything.
To be fair, Let's Go Pikachu could do that.
Okay, but you know how much of Let's Go Pikachu I played?
You did not play a lot of Let's Go Pikachu.
Oh, geez. So, yeah. So I was very excited about that before even doing anything. I liked the intro. Another thing that I was thinking about was that it seemed very European. I would say really British in terms of like stereotypical British with language. And I went through a phase where I was randomly obsessed with One Direction. And a lot of the phrasing and word choices, I was like, uh-huh.
I agree. Yeah. There was a point where we'll get there, but they used the word flash instead. And I was like, is that supposed to say flashy? And then I was like, that's probably slang.
Oh, I don't think I noticed that.
Using the slang right out of the gate.
I think so comparing to Sun and Moon, I guess, would be the last new generation that we've gotten.
Yes.
Not a remake of any sort. This intro seemed a little snappier and a little more, in my opinion, flashy.
Sure.
Like it held my attention more. And this is coming from somebody who loved Alola from start to finish, but I think it just had a bigger feel to it.
Sun and Moon felt very leisurely. Like I felt like it was...
You were
relaxing.
On a vacation, maybe?
Yeah. Oh, interesting. Yeah, so it was like, I'm not really in a rush, but the intro for Sword, I was very much like, what is going on? Because right away, it was like that arena, and it was very much like World Cup, just big event feel, and it was like, oh my gosh, instead of just being in a village, being in a space with not a lot of people.
I actually think that this is... pretty big departure from all Pokemon intros prior to this, because this is what I wrote in my notes as my like reaction to it. It felt more like a large scale presentation rather than a personal message or personal instruction, like instructional video from a professor. This is a this is because I'm very unsportsmanlike. That's not the phrase.
Welcome
because
to
I'm
the
not
world
into
of
sports.
Pokemon.
The only sport that I really watch is professional wrestling. So the only thing that I could relate this to, and I wrote in my notes, Triple H and NXT. It felt like Rose, who is the presenter, CEO, is that? I don't even know his title.
I think
title.
He's the chairman of the Galar League.
He felt like Triple H pitching NXT to an audience rather than like a professor talking to you one-on-one, or you watching a training video, which is what I felt with pretty much all of the previous Pokemon games. Even Alola, it's the introduction is Kukui video chatting you directly.
Right, right.
Where everything feels more personal, this feels more big, and I'm on a much grander scale of... This is Pokemon. Everybody should buy into. Everybody in this world should buy into competing and the excitement of competition and what Pokemon can bring and how Pokemon changes people's lives and so on.
Sun and Moon opened with like Lily running away. So I guess that was compelling in its own sense. That was
sure.
I think for me going in, that was like, oh, that's not me. That's not my story.
Right.
Whereas this felt like, oh, I'm going to end here. Like, this is my ending spot in this game, is to be in the stadium in a position of battling a champion.
I think it's specifically the segment cutting out that intro section to Alola, specifically the segment where you interact with the professor and the professor says, this is the world of Pokemon. Comparing this to every instance of that previously, I think this is a much bigger, big budget scale.
Yes. And I think this really kind of solidifies why Charizard was chosen. Because I don't know what other Pokemon would be in that situation that one would be champion level, and two, that people would recognize right away. So if you're like thinking of Pokemon that could be recognized right away, the easy ones are Pikachu and Eevee. Like, they're super, super popular. They're arguably two mascots of Eevee more recently than Pikachu, but obviously Pikachu's always been the mascot. And then maybe you could argue that Mewtwo would be up there as being very distinguishable and everyone knowing Mewtwo. Other than that, like, what other Pokemon do you put there that somebody who, and I think this is an important part, and I think obviously the beginning of the game does a really good job at this of getting people to, you know, refresh people. But what other Pokemon do you put there that somebody who may have only dabbled in Pokemon Go or maybe seen one episode of the anime or their friend plays Pokemon, but they never, like, everyone knows Charizard, that Pokemon looks cool and they show off Dynamax right away, and they take a cool Pokemon. That's an opinion, but a lot of people think Charizard's cool. But they take a cool Pokemon that everyone knows and they make it really big and show off one of the features right away. And if that was Pikachu and that was Eevee, I don't think for a lot of people that would have the same effect, because I guess you put Pikachu there and you would be that people would automatically start associating that champion with Ash. And I don't think they probably want that.
I think the options you have in that scenario are for recognizable Pokemon, like you said, Mewtwo, Pikachu, Eevee, maybe, and Charizard. And I think that Eevee and Pikachu has kind of always been in that space of, like, it already has, as a mascot, it already has a partner or partners that you can't really, like, pair it with somebody else story-wise to make it, because it's already either Red or Ash or whatever, or your character from Let's Go or whoever, you know, it's got a partner Pokemon. And I think a lot of people just kind of, like, associate certain Pokemon with partners or, like, your previous, you know, in previous generations. I don't think you could really do Leon with, like, Pikachu as its partner Pokemon, because it doesn't feel right, I guess.
You could maybe do Greninja at this point, but
I don't think Greninja is recognized, but I don't think...
Oh, no, it's not close to Charizard, but it's like, I think Greninja is probably second behind Charizard if we're talking final starters.
Also, Mewtwo's out because it's a legendary.
right. Yeah.
I don't think that's viable.
Greninja is probably second in line if you're just talking starters who are recognizable. And then if you're not talking starters,
I feel like Lucario is the other thing that I'm thinking about.
Yeah, Lucario is possible too, I think.
That's, yeah, they've paired Lucario with, I don't know. Yeah, I guess. I mean, they definitely leaned on Lucario a lot for X and Y, and how did that pan out for them?
but really, though, I mean, I think that I know that you've talked about this on the podcast before, and pretty sure we talked about it at some point during Alola, and I've yelled about it on Twitter, and you've yelled about it on Twitter. Gen 1 sells, and people, I mean, if Pokemon Go and Let's Go are any indication, Gen 1 definitely sells, and people are way more familiar with Gen 1 than they are with any other generation, and that's why Pokemon like Pikachu and Eevee and Charizard and Mewtwo are the most recognizable. And Charizard is easily, if you asked any, I would say, mom who had a child in the 90s to name one Pokemon, it would either be Pikachu or Charizard.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, or maybe Jigglypuff, but they would probably say it wrong.
I've been sitting here thinking about Jigglypuff for the last, like, 3 minutes. So.
Well, no, Jigglypuff's popular, but again, not a Pokemon a champion at the end game would be using, I don't think, at least.
What a curveball that would be, though.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So yeah, it opens with a new Pokemon. I did look at spoilers and see all these weeks ago. I can't remember this Pokemon's name. I'm sure about four more episodes in, we'll probably be able to tell you it. But the game doesn't tell you it. We see the Charizard. We see the Gigantamax Charizard.
Real quick, we're all three currently playing Sword, right?
Yes. As of this episode, I'm playing Sword, but I will be switching to Shield. I'm going to kind of go back and forth.
I will be curious to hear if that Pokemon is different for Shield, because I know that in previous games, they've done, like, when they do the intro, they show you a Pokemon. Oh. It has sometimes been a version exclusive or a different Pokemon. I did not look at any of the spoilers or leaks. I don't know any of these Pokemon, so every time I encounter one, it's new and exciting.
Same.
And I had no idea what this was, but I was real excited about it.
Speaking of things that were different this time, this kind of game, Irene, tell me about your mother.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I picked a character that looked like me. So I picked this cute little black girl, and I was super excited. I was actually shocked because you're sitting on your couch playing with your Switch.
Real quick, I got to tell the Switch. I don't know if you noticed this, Micah.
What?
But the Joy-Cons, that character Switch matches your Joy-Cons you have on your Switch currently. So if you had a blue and a red one, the character would be holding a blue and red Switch. I had the yellow and gold one. So
wait,
my character.
Wait. Hold on now.
Well, I got up from the couch. I walked into the kitchen, and I think I just made a noise because my mom was black, and I was very surprised by that.
Interesting.
Yeah, typically, like, we don't match complexions.
I didn't believe Irene. And I was like, oh, it's probably just interracial mom, like it's always interracial mom.
And then he looked up, and he's like, oh.
Because I didn't see my mom yet. So when she was like, oh, what does your mom look like? I was like, probably the same as yours. Because in Sun and Moon,
is black.
Every mom was the same. It was just like not super light, not super dark skinned.
Yeah, it was very racially ambiguous, I guess.
Yes, that's probably.
Yeah, Lola.
Yeah, I just liked those two specific points of detail in the game of like it recognizing what Joy-Cons you have, which, I mean, is not unique to that, like, Ring Fit Adventure recognizes what color Joy-Cons you have. I think Splatoon also recognizes Joy-Cons. It's just a nice touch. And then we all played the demo at the Pokemon World Championships back in August. I also played the same demo again in PAX out in Seattle. For the most part, the movement, everything felt exactly the same. I don't know if it was like 0.001% faster or slower. It just felt the same. It felt good. There's no run button this time.
Yeah.
I still walked into everything.
I did too. My first gripe that I've really, the only gripe I've had so far is that I found myself bumping into stuff constantly.
For me, it was bumping into things and then I kept pressing B. No, I kept pressing, I was pressing the wrong button. So it took me forever to stop exiting conversations instead of moving forward. So that was frustrating. I'm still getting the hang of that, but I'll get used to it real quick.
Just for reference, you're both playing on TV. I was actually playing handheld mode, which will come in later.
Okay.
Meet our rival, Hop.
We have a rival or a friend that starts with a different letter. I was just like, we just had How.
Well, three letters.
Like, How, Hop, no.
Bianca, Charon, Hugh.
I was going to say who, but that is not.
Hugh is a rival. That does exist.
Blue.
Blue, red.
Blue.
Silver.
Red.
Hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo.
I don't have any strong feelings for or with Hop. I do like that he already had a Pokemon. He already had his Wooloo, which was cute. I guess in a sense that he already formed a relationship with a Pokemon. Easy comparisons, I guess, is that this is vibes of How. I guess I don't see that right away because the only thing I remember about How is he really liked food. He liked Malasadas a lot. He was very excited. Hop came off excited, but it felt natural because his brother was finally back in town, which starts off the game of Leon visiting. And he knows that he's going to start his journey. So I'm very curious of how his character is going to develop over these games.
how his character is going to develop. I like Hop. I think that there's always kind of been this like interchangeable attitude for the like positive rivals, which I think is fine though. I don't have any problem with that.
Gladion existed. He was far from positive.
No. He was like an anti-hero.
I'm saying the rivals that you have in the game that are positive rivals, I think that the attitude is generally kind of all the same. It's like excitement and a lot of ambition and raring to go and high energy, and I think that's fine. I don't think, you know, it keeps me energetic.
Sure.
And I think that's kind of the intention. It's like a little bit of like an uplifter throughout the game.
Leon's the real star of the show. Obviously, that's the point. He's a babe. I'm sorry, I haven't said that yet.
When you start, your Hop is telling you that Leon is coming into town and you need to go. I think you go back to Hop's house first, and his mom tells you that Leon is riding the train home right now and you need to go and pick him up from the train station because he gets lost easily, I guess. I don't know how, because it's like one road straight to their house from the train station. Oh, no. So then you go with Hop to the train station to pick up Leon, and he's met with a very large crowd who's very excited. The hometown crowd, very excited, cheering him on. Happy that he's back. He comes out showing off his Charizard, and he does his Charizard hand sign, and everybody does it back, which I don't know if you... I did it. When I saw it, I did it to see what it looks like, and it looks like a Charizard.
What?
It's like a mouth and a horn.
Did I miss this part?
I wasn't
He does it in the battle in the beginning when he like puts his hand up, he does his pose, and everybody in the crowd does the like hand pose back.
Is it when like the little like kind of fireworks pop up?
Yeah, and then when he shows up back at home, he does the hand sign again, and everybody, it's like his signature thing, and it's, if you do the hand sign, it's a Charizard head. It's like the top of its head, and then its mouth, its jaw, and then its horn. Which is kind of neat.
I keep thinking of this like pop punk thing from the early 2000s, and how they had a hand symbol, and that's
Don't worry, you'll be getting some pop
right
punk
now.
In this game.
Yeah. So, my favorite.
So then you meet up with them. You meet up with Leon, and it's really cute. I don't know. Leon and Hop have a conversation, and it really gives you a sense of who they are as brothers.
Yes.
Hop is very excited that he's back. He's like a huge fan of his brother. His brother is really happy that he has such a like supportive brother. They have a very good relationship, and it's just, I don't know, it's adorable.
It's wholesome.
It's very wholesome. And so then when you go back, they're having a barbecue to welcome you back. But in their house, if you go upstairs, you can see Hop's room and
he has some cool
Leon's room.
Cool Gen 1 posters on his wall.
And they're across the hall from each other, and they are starkly different, drastically different in tone, because Leon's room is very mature. It's very like trainer centric. It's all kinds of books and magazines. And when you inspect them, it says something along the lines of like, these are magazines or books that it looks like adults read a lot. Maybe questionable, but questionable
that's,
terminology,
you know, that's what
but I
thought,
think it's
but
like,
all right.
Also, the cover looked a little questionable, but I couldn't really see what it was because it's very small.
I mean, I was on handheld, so my imagination went
wild.
I think I just I made a remark about that, but I wasn't paying attention.
But he's got like training equipment and hats, and you know, it's all very like sports themed and kind of like came
off a little jockey.
Yeah, mature, like, older brother. He doesn't have time for, like, all that kid stuff because he's too busy training or whatever. And then you slide on over to Hop's room, and it's all, like, Pokemon stuff and, you know, like, posters, and just feels very, very much like a kid's room and a very, very different theme from his older brother's room. It feels like a younger brother's room. And it really gives you a sense of, like, their differences as brothers, I guess. Like, they're one being the younger brother and a little bit immature, and one being the older brother and more mature and a little bit more focused.
And then that takes us right into our starters, which at this point, we have not met the professor. Leon gives us our starters.
The whole, all of the intro animations, I wrote down, if you're indecisive, this could sway you very easily. But I did think, I already knew, I was like, Score Bunny's my best friend. I've known this for months. But the interaction that they showed, the three of them, I thought was very cute. Instead of typically just being like, here, these are the three. They're in Pokeballs. Pick one.
Yeah.
So it was very nice to just see the mannerisms and see them in their element. So if you were kind, if I was sitting and being like, oh, I don't know if I want Sobble or Score Bunny, seeing Sobble in the water and just peeking up, I thought that that would be something that's cute and charming.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I already knew, but it was something that if you were indecisive and you didn't know which one you'd want, I think it would be, what I would do is whatever one that you attach to first, I would pick. Just because if you had an affinity with that, like, I don't know. I just thought that that would probably help someone.
There was also a neat, I don't know if either of you noticed this, but there was a neat, that interaction was kind of like a very short, brief, subtle lesson in type advantage.
Yes.
You know about type advantage?
We'll get to that. But yeah, they kind of
Sobble shoots water out and hits Score Bunny, and Score Bunny jumps and hits Grookey out of the tree, and then Grookey falls and scares Sobble out of the water. So it's like the triangle of the starter types, which was kind of cute, I thought.
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable that it took them 20 some years to get to this point to like like if you did not follow gaming news, and if you did not, you know, see the trailers, and you just picked this up, what, Christmas, you receive it as a Christmas present, it's your first Pokemon game, this game will be a lot of people's first Pokemon game. I think that little cutscene, it's just such a good job at like showing you which characters you would gravitate towards. And I think Sun and Moon did an okay job, but I feel like this is night and day. And I now, in retrospect, going back to like X and Y, I think X and Y actually did a pretty lousy job. I think the only thing that really like gravitated me towards anything is that was the first time, that was like when the Pokemon company learned what Twitter was, and they were like hashtag Team Fennekin, hashtag Team Chespin.
We still have sure. those shirts.
We do, but
back when hashtags were really popping.
Yeah, no one uses hashtags anymore at all. But adding so much character to those Pokemon before you're about to pick them, I'm sure will, I'm sure kids or even adults, if this was their first Pokemon game, I think they can solidify their decision without needing to see, you know, a 10-minute trailer or a 10-second trailer on Twitter or a 30-second Instagram video of like these Pokemon in motion. So yeah, that was great. And then they set up the battle, and again, for the first time in 20 plus years, your rival battle is a bit different. Instead of just being what you pick and what your rival picked, Hop has two Pokemon, and you have one.
And Irene picked Score Bunny, correct?
And I got a girl. I was so excited. All of my Pokemon are girls so far. I've only encountered female Pokemon in my whole team. Yeah.
Steve, what did you pick?
I picked Sobble for this playthrough, but when I do my... when I switch to Shield tomorrow, it will be Grookey.
Okay. So we'll have the trifecta, because I picked Sobble.
Yeah, trifecta. Yes.
I just knew that if...
firmly in the Sobble camp for quite a while now.
Green picked Score Bunny, and then my two copies are the other two, then I can get all three in my household.
I would have...
Also, Sobble crying was so cute. I can't handle it. When it got scared out of the water and started crying, I was fully dedicating myself to protecting that poor little chameleon.
Aww.
The game does a lot of things very subtly and very, very well, I think, especially compared to past Pokemon games. So in this case, the reason they give Hop two Pokemon is the Wooloo is normal type, doesn't pose much of a threat. I can't imagine anyone losing to the Wooloo. But then when Hop sends out his second Pokemon, by that time, it's set up in a way where you get a level. So obviously that feels good. Oh, I leveled up. I did something good.
Yeah.
Instant gratification for somebody who's never played. I'm sorry. I keep thinking about people who never play because obviously at some point, Pokemon needs new people who have never played Pokemon to play these games.
Well, and if a game isn't introducing, if the beginning of a game isn't doing a good job of setting it up for new players, then there's really no point. I mean, it's kind of failing at that point.
Yeah.
It kind of has to be setting up for new people.
Something that I also thought of was with Sun and Moon, it was very obvious that it was setting up for new people. And it was kind of grating to me. Thinking about it now, I don't know if I thought the same thing when I was doing it. I think probably because the intro felt very slow.
That was probably the biggest complaint about Sun and Moon, is that first island.
Absolutely. Yeah, and so...
extremely tutorial heavy.
Yeah, and so this was... it had the same goal, but it was way more concise, which
I liked.
It
was a lot more subtle, too.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't bother me as a longtime player seeing my Pokemon level and getting a move with a type advantage.
I'm sure everyone experienced this. The game purposely gives you a new move. Hop picks the Pokemon that is a disadvantage to your Pokemon, and then Leon takes the last Pokemon, which is interesting, and I'm sure we'll talk about that later. I actually don't know, but I'm assuming that other Pokemon is going to go somewhere. They did animate Leon picking it up, and I'm sure it's going to go somewhere.
I just assumed that he was going to raise it, but
yeah, me too.
Oh, no. Well, we know there's other rivals based on the promotional material.
I mean, I don't remember anything. Like, I don't remember much of anything.
We know there's the dude in the weird trench coat that looks like Nier from Death Note, and then we know that there's Marnie is followed around by Team Yell. So we know there are two other rivals. I'm assuming Grookey is going to go to one of them. Somebody else picked Score Bunny and Grookey was left over. I'm assuming Grookey's. I can't imagine that starter's never going to be seen again.
I definitely thought that Leon was going to take that Pokemon.
I did too. Yeah. I thought my impression was, I'm going to fight that
at the championship. Interesting.
I guess I thought it was going to go to another rival.
No, I totally was just
so
like.
You think Leon's going to have it?
Exactly. Okay. Because in the beginning, too, it was like, I am the undefeatable champion. And so it was like, okay, eventually, like, I'm going to go through this whole journey with my Pokemon that I picked, and I watched Leon pick this other Pokemon that was at the same level. Mm. And so it's kind of like, okay, when we get there, if my Pokemon beats the Pokemon that we picked at the same point in time, like, I think that would be
I like that. Yeah,
more
that's a good point.
Meaningful.
Yeah.
However, if none of that happens, then...
Well, there's also the fact that if... In Red and Blue, if you pick Charmander, your rival picks Squirtle, you go that entire game. Like, oh, well, Bulbasaur is just dead. Doesn't exist.
Bulbasaur who? I don't know her.
Hop goes out of his way to tell you that, you understand type effectiveness, which is just a subtle way to teach you that stuff. That whole battle was fine. It was obviously, I'm not going to sit here and say like, man, I wish it was harder. It's literally the first tutorial battle in the game. It's fine. Yeah. It was set up right. And then they have a little off storyline of that Wooloo at the beginning of the game. It went missing, and that sets you up for
Can we touch on that real quick?
Sure.
I laughed at that. I out loud laughed at that cutscene at the start when you step out of your house and Hop's like, what's this Wooloo doing? And it's banging its head on the fence. And then he goes, hey, stop that. And then it bangs its head on the fence again. And he goes, well, that's taken care of. Let's go.
I forgot that I'm looking at my notes again. And it's back to the battle that we had with Hop. And I wrote down, bouncing while waiting. Is this Ring Fit? Because my Score Bunny was just hopping back and forth, and it was very, very cute. It was hopping against Hop.
I don't know if you noticed this. This is a very small thing, but I thought it was kind of funny. Because I have Sobble, I was fighting a Score Bunny. When a Score Bunny got into the red, it slowed down its jumping.
Yeah.
So it was like hopping fast. And then when it got to the red, it just like slowly jumped. Like,
I think that's existed since X and Y. Although it's probably way noticeable now that you can see more than 4 pixels at a time.
Well, I'm a great trainer, so my Score Bunny was never in danger like that. So I didn't know that was a possibility.
It was real funny.
So the forest area does a couple things. It introduces you to a couple new Pokemon.
It's called the Slumbering Weald.
I loved that music.
Weald. Something.
We'll come back to the new Pokemon because there's more after this scene. We'll just get to the point here, though. It pretty much introduces you to one of the two new legendaries. If you're playing Shield, you're going to see Zamazenta. And if you're playing Sword, you're going to see Zacian.
It's looking real not good. Had a bunch of slashes on it. It was like missing half an ear.
What?
Yeah.
It was looking rough.
Like left ear is like cut.
I don't know. Yeah,
it was looking not good.
Yeah. The thing that stood out of that whole sequence was the music. And they make you had to attack her three times before like the cutscene ended, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I
was curious what would happen if I ran. Did you try to run?
Yeah, nothing.
What happened?
It just says you're too scared
to
run away.
No, it said you can't run away somehow, like for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Something like that.
You're too entranced.
Yeah, they give you the first peek at the legendary, which is something Sun and Moon did with Tapu Koko for whatever reason. And Cosmog, I guess those are two legendaries. And then Leon shows up and Charizard rescued the Wooloo. The Wooloo was safe. That's the entire game. It's really weird that Sword and Shield only lasts about 20 minutes, but wow. Charizard rescuing the Wooloo was what we needed world.
One episode. Why do you need 22?
Charizard's always the hero.
Micah, did you get your Gigantamax Meowth?
What?
Oh my gosh. So,
no.
Because I kept pressing the wrong buttons, I kept opening and closing the menu, but then I opened it and
this is after it unlocks Mystery Gift.
Yeah. And so I went to Mystery Gift and I think I saw a notification that said you have a new Mystery Gift. And so of course I went online and grabbed the Mystery Gift, which was a Gigantamax Meowth.
Whoa.
So now I have four Pokemon in my team and I have Meowth. My Meowth is
Yes.
Is a female as well.
The Meowth should be available until January 16th, I think. So it's pretty much for anyone who purchased the game early. No matter what, where you bought it from, you'll be able to connect to Mystery Gift to get the Meowth.
Also, you can get your Death Stranding delivery outfit from Walmart, I guess.
Oh, right.
What?
Yes.
As of today.
With like Pokemon Pass, jumpsuit. If you go into Walmart, you can get like this delivery jumpsuit in your game for a character.
Zacian though is like a hologram almost, right? Like it's like a vision of Zacian, not like a, because when you hit it with moves, it kind of like ripples through.
Oh, I just thought that was because your Pokemon is level 7.
Well, yeah, I thought that, but then I also thought that it was purposefully just like manipulating the whole thing because. Every time you hit it, it got super foggy and the music slowed down and everything. So it was kind of just like something is changing. I don't know exactly what it is, but obviously this isn't a regular encounter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought the game was trying to set up like there are like in past Pokemon games have been really bad at like pointing out a strong Pokemon that you should possibly care about. I remember seeing Articuno for the first time when I was 10 years old in the Seafoam Caves and just thinking like, oh, this is a cool bird. Like, sweet, I guess I'll catch it. It must be important because it's just, it had an icon. But like past Pokemon games have kind of been bad at like setting up like, hey, these are important. These are the things these Pokemon, these legendary Pokemon, we want you to care about them in a way. So, like, I thought that setup was, look at how powerful this thing is that you will eventually get, but your level 7 Square Bunny or whatever you started with isn't going to do zero damage to this thing. I didn't think it was
interesting. I interpreted that differently. I interpreted it as, like, it was, I don't know, maybe a vision of it, but it made me care about it more because I got a little bit more, like, concerned about what's wrong with it. Like, why was it hurt? And I'm attacking it, but it's not attacking me back. So it's not aggressive. It wasn't aggressive to me at least. So like, what's wrong with it, and how do I, you know?
Yeah.
Where can I find it, or where can I, you know, help it for whatever it needs help with? Or there's way more mystery to it, I think.
So there's a couple Pokemon we see on the route leading there. I think they're set encounters. It should be a squirrel, owl, and then another squirrel in that order specifically that you can't catch because you don't have Pokeballs.
Well, I caught mine because I got my Meowth. So my Meowth had Pokeballs, so I have four Pokemon.
So after you see your legendary encounter, then you get five Pokeballs, and then you head out onto Route 1, where you see a bunch of new Pokemon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Irene has one that she fell in love with instantly.
My Rickety! Ah! She's so cute. I named her Michelle Obama.
Rickety, I think is how you say it.
Rickety?
It's the owl.
Yeah.
The owl. Yep.
Yeah, because she's wild.
So you really like owls.
I love owls.
There's been plenty of owls before. There's been
Rowlet, who
Noct Owl. First shiny Pokemon ever to debut in the anime. Right? Noct
Owl. All of them. Hoot,
Noct Owl. Owls. No, well, there's Rowlet. A significantly better owl than Hoot Hoot, some would argue.
Some would already argue.
I feel like there's one more owl that I'm not thinking of.
Well,
but
I can't remember, so.
Brookedy's an owl-ish?
Is what? It?
It's obviously an owl. It's like a crown. It's like a... Okay. It's like a... What do you...
My first impression...
The cornet... what are they called? The little tiny chickens? Like the...
The chickens.
Chickens aren't owls?
No, turkeys. They're not chickens. What are they called? They're not Cornish hens. I don't know. But they're little... Like,
chickadees.
Chickadees.
They're cute.
Is it chickadees?
It's supposed to be a
rickety.
Rickety is its name.
It's
according to Bulbapedia, it's a combination of rookie and chickadee.
Chickadee. Oh. It's super cute. I love it. Cute.
I guess that makes a lot of sense now.
It's the tiny bird Pokemon, which is also really cute.
Yes. This would be your P-Dove, your Pidgey, your
Yeah, except way cuter.
Your basic bird Pokemon of the route. It is pure flying.
Basic bird.
I've seen all these Pokemon early, so I knew Rookidee was coming. I did not think for a second this would be the Pokemon Irene would fall in love with.
What? I mean, I've also played the game for like 25 minutes at this. Oh, no, more than that, because it takes me forever to get through stuff, but...
We have not seen any of these, so, so every time I saw one, I was real excited.
Exactly.
We saw the debut of Dorito Squirrel.
I don't even know what it was called. I didn't care about it.
Squovit is amazing.
So, yeah, Squovit was the squirrel that was on the little boy's shirt in all the trailers that looked like it was eating Doritos.
Its cheeks are so huge. I love it so much. I know that Becky is gonna lose her mind because anything with like big cheeks, she's like, "This is adorable."
Big
hamsters,
cheeks.
Squirrels, me.
I'm gonna talk to her about this.
So I can't say that. Squovit.
It's like wovit and squirrel. I don't know why. Maybe that's not true, but like squovit.
This is your Bidoof or your Rattata of the route. Then there was another new Pokemon, which was
Fox something.
I think its name is Nickit.
Oh, yeah. That. I named it. Wait, really?
Yeah.
Why did I write down Fox?
It is Fox.
Which is probably slang, right? Like, Nick is like steal. Like, Nickit. Like, you stole it.
Yeah, so it makes sense because Nickit is a dark Pokemon. And so dark Pokemon would be known to steal or cause trouble.
It's real cute.
But who cares about those three new Pokemon? On Route 1 featured Hoot Hoot. So that's all you need.
Wow.
Wait, there was a Hoot Hoot on Route 1?
Yeah, it was in the... Oh, I didn't see it. It was in the exclamation point encounter.
Oh, grass. I got a C-Dot.
I think you won the lottery there.
I immediately boxed it as soon as I got another new Pokemon.
There was also a new bug.
Blitbug.
But there you
go. I didn't see.
It looks like a nerd. It's like a nerd bug. He's got like big circular glasses and a little bow tie. Yeah. It's pretty cute.
He's pretty cool too. So they did the thing again. 20 some years to get to this point. Technically, Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee did it first, but they This is a new generation that did it, not a remake of having Pokemon walk around. It feels good. It feels natural. It's like what I've always wanted in a Pokemon game. I've told the story tons of times. I remember reading an issue of Nintendo Power as a kid after Red and Blue and seeing the little Pokemon sprites near the grass in the screenshots in Nintendo Power. And I was like, oh my gosh, we'll be able to see them walking around and we can walk around them or whatnot, because other RPGs at the time were doing this. And
They've been doing it since the NES.
Flash forward, it was just the picture of the daycare where they showed two Pokemon next to the little water thing in the daycare. And so I've wanted this since I saw it in Nintendo Power back in 2000.
This was one of my biggest praises for Let's Go. It was the overworld sprites. I think it's like such a cool addition that makes it feel lived in.
And it does a thing where, like, I guess I want to encounter them because I see them. Whereas, yeah. Like, I think with Let's Go, it didn't feel like that because, like, I knew all, like, I know what a Bellsprout is. I know what a Pikachu is. I know what a Geodude is. And I've caught a million of them. So I'm going to walk around all of them. I don't need any more in my life. In this, I saw Rookidee and I ran into it and I was like, I guess I don't need it. And then I saw another one and I was like, why do I keep walking into these? Because they're just like new and exciting. And so it was cool to, because they are new for me, I like gravitated towards them over and over again, even though I could have just walked past all of them.
It's funny, too, because one of the first things I noticed about the overworld sprites was they were Butterfree's that were just flying around in the air.
Yeah.
And
that was immediately
the first thing that I noticed.
That scene when you walk out of your house is beautiful.
Yeah.
The like scenery and the Pokemon flying in the sky and the Butterfree and the Wooloo in the fields. It's so good. It looks stunning.
You get to the first town.
It's technically still your town, right? Because it's the area that he shows up in the...
It's where the
same
the
area
train,
where you show up in the...
The train gets off. So you can visit the...
You take a side path, which is kind of neat.
Oh, because the Wooloo are sleeping.
Yeah, the Wooloo are sleeping and blocking your path, so you have to take the side path and see all the Pokemon.
So you can chill out with Charizard. He's hanging out, and you can go into the side. You can explore a little bit. It's pretty limited, though. It pretty much forces you to find Leon, who is in the professor's house. The professor, not there. Not that that's new. In Black and White, I think it took a while to actually meet Juniper, especially in Black and White 2. But we see
Even in Red and Blue, you had to go find Oak.
No, he came to you.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't there. You had to go up, taunt him about going out into the grass.
Oh,
he
got it.
Gotta
taunt him. I see.
I'm gonna walk three steps.
When you do find Leon, you get introduced to Sonia, who is the professor's researcher.
I thought she was the professor.
Oh no, she is Leon's old rival. They grew up together, so they are the same age, and you get right away their dynamic, which is Leon, I guess, probably what I took away from it, Leon not treating her like a rival.
Yeah.
Yep.
He introduces her by saying, I like her cooking sometimes. And I was like, excuse you. Wow,
you
rude.
Better stop.
I don't know if there's more to it, like they used to date.
That's what I picked up, but I also do that for literally everything.
Okay.
If two people interact, I'll just be like, wow. So
I remember reading spoilers about these characters like 8 months ago, and now I'm very curious if those are real, because there was so many fake and other spoilers along the way. But so I feel like I'm biased in these characters, but she seems fine. I mean, she seems like she has her life together. Leon seems like, while he is the champion, at least from that interaction and how she describes Leon, while as the champion, seems like his life is probably in shambles, but he's putting on a front.
Also, though,
they keep referencing he's like aloof and he gets lost.
Okay, don't.
Oh, is that what you're...
There's nothing wrong with people that are aloof, okay?
Direct attacker.
Randomly, both of their outfits was something that I was thinking about. Actually, well, Leon's outfit the whole time, I was like, you're wearing shorts with those leggings. Okay. But I really like Sonia's outfit, too, and I liked her hair. Sorry, character designs.
It's adults. A lot of, like, very... modern fashion sense, I guess.
Very stylish.
It's very lookbooky.
Visually, I think the game's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
So a couple things I will give you my experience. At one point, Sonya says, "Oh, you have a phone, Rotom, come out." And my whole screen went black, and then it said, game application has crashed.
He was like, "Oh, my whole game just crashed."
No. And I was like, "Oh, well, I guess I don't have a Rotom, maybe." The timing of it could not have been better, though. Literally, her dialogue was, "Rotom, come out," and then my game crashed. And so the first thing I thought was, I do not want to do the last 45 minutes, because I was the person that talked to every single bookshelf and thing. I was like, I do not want to do all of this over again.
You didn't save at any point?
Auto save.
Again,
turn that auto save on.
Something that took very long for Pokemon to introduce, but it auto saved, so I only had to redo that specific cutscene again because it saves when you go out in and out of buildings. So because I went to the train station first and then I went to there, it auto saved. It's weird because I don't think I've ever had another Pokemon game actually crash on me.
I have not had a Pokemon game crash, but I've had Switch games crash.
Yeah,
I've never had a Switch game crash.
Yeah, because like I feel like with Pokemon games generally, with the 3DS and stuff, like that is kind of where obviously they can start to crash. But I think this is just a new feature. And problem just because of
the crashing is a feature. Is
that Oh my gosh.
With more crashing.
It's 2 a.m. I need to go to bed.
It's hard for me to be like super mad as somebody who has played a lot of Apex and a lot of Destiny and Fallout 4. Like these are all big budget studio games. Not saying that Pokemon isn't, but like I can't think of how many times those games have crashed on me.
Yeah.
Or like getting we were in a raid. We'll see you guys in about 5 minutes. I got to reboot my PS4 and rejoin the party. I was a little taken aback because I cannot remember a time where a Pokemon game crashed. I will say, though, I did have an instance where my copy of Ultra Sun, Ultra Moon was not being read. And I had to pop it out and pop it back in a couple times for that to be recognized. And I did have a mini heart attack of like, I don't know which Pokemon are on this game. Like, I don't know if this is the good copy or this is a bad copy. What if I had like a event Pokemon I didn't transfer to Pokemon Bank?
Sure.
So I definitely had that. I don't know if that was a 3DS problem or if that was a cartridge problem. Now that I'm thinking about it, I should probably move those Pokemon off that cartridge. That's why I stressed I was playing in handheld mode. I'm curious if that is specifically a handheld mode thing. But I guess we'll see.
I noticed, I think it was when I was walking around the grass, I might have just exited a battle, but I had this weird glitch on my screen, and I asked Steve if he saw that, because I was like, I don't know if it was like a wild Pokemon just flying past me, or I wasn't really sure what it was, because it was very, very brief.
I noticed when Irene was playing on the TV, to me, it sounded like the sound effects, like the when you press the A button and it confirms things. That sounded way louder than I felt like it should have been. And I do, maybe that was just me.
I just focus on music.
Maybe my ears are just going bad or something.
That doesn't even make any sense. Why would you?
But I noticed it. I was like, man, that A button is kind of like ear piercing when every time like you checked like a closet or a trash can.
Oh, that.
Yeah, like to me, that was very piercing. I do know that there's a person somewhere in the first town. I guess first town is debatable. I think the town where you meet Sonya that gives you a pair of like, I think they're called high quality earbuds. We'll have to talk about this next episode. But that will let you customize your sound even more.
What?
Where in Let's Go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee, you could completely turn off the background music, but you could keep the move animations on and the sound effects on, like when you confirm and hit the A button. For whatever reason, I'm not sure why they hid a setting under a random NPC that you have to talk to. My guess would be that they didn't want to overwhelm the player with options, and they are like slowly introcing things.
Hmm.
I guess I have
Seems like a necessary thing to like not put on a random NPC.
Yeah. So I'm not sure. I'm very curious. I guess you could probably go throughout the entire game of not talking to this dude and getting the high quality earbuds. I guess when I do get them, I'm going to turn down the sound effects a little bit because I think they're a bit piercing, but that's such a minor complaint. I didn't notice it when I was playing in handheld mode. I just noticed it when Irene was playing on the TV.
I didn't really notice it that much. I mean, I'm sure the volume was the same, but it didn't really bother me too much.
I'm just getting old.
Things are hitting you harder.
I guess. Or maybe it's just late. Maybe I'm just running too much on no sleep.
So how many Pokemon did you have when you ended, when you finished with
when
Sonia?
I finished, I have of, this is going to be really different the next time we record because I'm switching games. I ended with my Sobble and I ended with a Nickit.
I think I had Sobble, Rookidee, Squovit, Blipbug, Nickit, and a Seedot.
And that Seedot's the first to go, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
But I had a Meowth, a Scorbunny, my Fox Pokemon, and a Rookidee.
Mm.
Rookidee.
They're all females.
Everything's cute. Yeah. They're all cute so far. I'm really happy.
I'm not 100% sure what next episode's going to be looking like. Obviously, at the start, we'll let you know of, you know, what the ending point is. If it is, like, let's just say the third gym, let's just pretend all three gyms are right next to each other. That's probably not the case. We'll say, hey, we're going to talk up to the third gym. So just easy to be like, hey, I'm not there yet. I'll pause this podcast. We'll keep it real easy and close.
Really quick minor, like this is impressions, right? Like really quick minor bullet points. How it feels, how it, you know, like how it looks.
TLDR.
Like just, yeah, the TLDR. Like it looks great. It feels great. It's, I don't know. It feels like a good, so far at least, it feels like a really good game. It feels like a very new, exciting experience, I guess, maybe more so than it has in fairly recent Pokemon games,
yeah.
I guess. The music's good.
Yep, the
everything
music,
is just...
The music's the first thing that I probably would mention, actually, that I liked, that I'm thinking about right now, just because I really, really liked the Slumbering Wheeled music.
Yeah.
I was sitting and I looked at my phone for a little bit just because I loved the violins and I didn't want to move. But Steve was like, you need to keep playing. And I was like, but I love this so much.
It's real good. All the music gives a really good sense of like the location that you're at so far, at least. And it gives really good tone to the game. Everything feels really stylish too. Like I said that with the clothes, like everybody kind of feels like their clothing is styled really well, like their fashion sense is styled well, but just in general, even like your room and Hop's room, like very pop arty. It definitely feels like there was a lot of just from following James Turner's art, like it feels like he really put a lot of his art influence into the game. I guess it's very like kind of, I don't know, street arty and hip. I don't know if that's the word. I sound very old when I say hip, but it feels real like young and modern. I don't know. And less just like a Pokemon universe. It feels well designed.
So we will be back tomorrow with some more thoughts and impressions. Probably, I'm assuming, 1 to 2 gyms next episode. So we don't have a good outro here. Hold on.
Goodness. I don't know.
Oh, two things. Number one, if you made it to the end of this episode and hopefully you enjoyed it, we'll see you tomorrow. But we are doing a giveaway for a Nintendo Switch Lite. That will be in the podcast show notes. It ends on November 20th, 2019. So if you're listening to this on January 14th, 2020, you missed it. It was last year. Sorry about that.
Oops. Whoopsie daisy.
Number two is I will be streaming the games pretty much every day for about 12 hours every day for the next week on twitch.tv/PKMNcast. Again, that will also be in the show notes. However you found this podcast, it should be on your favorite podcast app or site, so Spotify, Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, or just on PokemonPodcast.com. If you want the old-fashioned web browser way, all the episodes will be uploaded daily there, too. Otherwise, we will see you guys tomorrow.
Keep on carving those monsters.
And God...
Goodbye, Galar.
Oh, that's pretty good. I like that.
All right.
Galar,
hold on.
Goodbye.
We'll do it.
Galar, goodbye.
We'll do it as we started it. All right. Good?
Bye.
Irene. Galar.
Next. Always room for improvement.
It'll take
it's our
us
first
a
try.
Few.
We'll get there.